Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation episode number 125 for November 27th, 2013. Thanksgiving CUSO. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Nation. Bob Hall is not with us tonight. He's in London, and he was going to be here, but he had a party to attend. But that's okay. We're going to have our own party here tonight. Say hello, Gordon West.
Well, good evening to Ham Nation viewers. I'm sorry I cleaned myself up here. And, you know, we're having Thanksgiving a little bit early, but live from the West Coast, it's Thanksgiving on the beach tomorrow. Tune us in. We'll tell you all about it. George, back to you.
Thanksgiving on the beach. Boy, that sounds nice, Gordon. Well, I know Don Wilbanks spends his days in New Orleans, so there's bound to be some Thanksgiving activity going on down there. Don, how's it going?
I'm sorry, you were talking? Oh, it's going great. Cheers, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm having my my bowl of wine. Everything's going fine, going really good. I didn't have any Thanksgiving decorations or anything, so I'm wearing a New Orleans Saints shirt. Football, closest I can get to Thanksgiving, but no beach activities down here tonight. It's 38 and a half degrees right now, so it's too cold to get out by the pond, Gordon, so there will be no water sports in Picayune, Mississippi tonight. George, back to you.
Okay, Don. Yeah, it's 35 here right now. You know, yesterday we had a lot of rain and the temperature were dropping. They thought we might have some snow, but we didn't. If we had, though, it would have been the first time it's ever snowed in Mississippi, or in Jackson, Mississippi, before Thanksgiving. But Dale's all ready for Thanksgiving, too. And what's going on tonight, Dale?
Happy Thanksgiving from the Yellow Brick Road.
And there he goes.
That's festive.
Wow.
I need another drink.
I don't know what else to say, Don. He beat us.
I need another drink.
Well, we've got a big show tonight, and I got some special things coming up a little later in the show, so you certainly want to hang around for that. But right now, let's do a little smoking solder. You know, you need a good way to disconnect the power from your rig, to move it from one mobile to another, or swap out things in the shack there. And here's a perfect solution right here. It's the power pole connectors. Today, we're going to take a look at power pole connectors. These are those connectors that you see on a lot of rigs today. They don't come with them usually. You buy them yourself and install them, and they give you a quick way to connect and disconnect the power from your rig. Now, these things will handle a lot of current, and that's the reason that they're so popular. We're going to look at how you assemble one of these. There's two different parts to an Anderson power pole connector. First, there's the shell, and we've got those in black and red for negative and positive. And then there's a variety of different contact sizes. You can get a 15 or 30 amp connector that looks like this. The wire slips in the hole here in the end. Or you can go on up and get a larger one. This is a 45 amp connector here. And this has a slot in the back to install your wire in. Now, the 15 amps will take 16 to 20 gauge wire. The 30 amps will take 12 to 16. And the 45 amps will take 10 through 14 gauge wire. We're going to use the 45 amps today because I'm making a power cable for HF rig. These connectors will only plug in one direction. They won't fit in the other. So you can't get that part wrong, but you can get the polarity wrong. The first thing we should do is mate together the two shells here so that we know our polarity is going to be correct, and it's going to make the job easier later on. So I suggest you take the cable you'll be mating to and you orientate your shells in that direction and then put them together. Now, to put them together, there's a little tab and a little notch on either connector here. What you do is you just slide them down like this to where they fit together snugly. If you want to, there's a little hole in the center here where you can put a tab through there to keep these from separating, but I haven't had a problem with that. Now, let's just check and make sure our polarity is still correct, and it is. So, we've got the shells ready to go. Now, the next thing we'll need to do is prepare our wire here. So, I'll begin by stripping the wire, and we'll cut the two back here a little bit. That should be plenty. And now we'll strip off some of the insulation, and we want to strip off just enough to fit inside the connector here, so about that much. Now, there are wire strippers that you can use. I generally like to cut my insulation, though, with a knife, so that's what I'm going to do. And you want to be careful that you don't nick any of the wires inside of there as you're doing this. You just want to cut through the jacket on the outside. So I'll score the wire first, and then I'll take my strippers and pull it off. And now let's see if we're the right length. And that's just right. So let's do the other one. And let's check it. A little bit longer than the first one, but still, that's a good length right there. I'm not sure what gauge this wire is. I think it's a 10 gauge. Here's one of the 15 amp connectors. We can see that all those conductors won't fit inside the hole there. So we know we can't use that. And besides, this is going on an HF rig, and we're going to have a 20 amp supply to it. So we want a connector that'll handle more than 20 amps. So I'm going to go with the 45 amp ones here. And now there's two different ways that we can go now. We can solder this in here, or we can crimp it. Or actually, three ways. We can do both if we want to. So let's try crimping the red one first. Now, we want to get these lined up correctly. If you look inside the connector here, there's some metal springs in the bottom. When we put the pins in there, the hook here at the end of the pin is going to slide up over the metal spring in here. So we'll want to arrange them in that direction. It's easier if we go ahead and put these pins on where they'll be in the right direction, and we don't have to try to twist the wire later. So let's try crimping that and see if that works. Now, your crimp tool is going to have a lot to do with how successful you are. This is the one I'm using here. I'm not sure if it's the exact one that you need, but it's what I've got. So we're going to try it. Now, the whole point is that you want this to be kind of round when you're finished. So we're going to try to crimp it, and we may have to move our crimping tool around as we go to get everything straight. Now you notice I've got the rounded side of my tool here on the two open ends, and I've got the tab on the back there. And I got all but one strand in there. It didn't quite go. Now that feels like it's on there good, but I'm going ahead and do a little soldering on here as well, just to be sure. And we got to be careful. We don't want solder getting on the outside of the connector here, or we're going to have a problem slotting it up into the shell. Now, what's the first thing I'm going to do when I solder this? I'm going to put on a little bit of flux. You see me do that quite often. And that's because I want this to solder as quickly as possible. I don't want this connector and the insulation on the wire here getting hotter than necessary. Now, I probably should use a little bigger tip for this, but we'll try with this one that's on here. And it's beginning to flow. And we want it to flow on down in there on the wire inside the crimp. We don't want a lot left on the outside of the connector here. I just got a little there I didn't intend to. Okay, I believe that's good. I'll use a little denatured alcohol to clear the excess flux off of there. If this had been the lower amp connector where the pin had the complete circle around it, I may not have soldered it, but since this was a split type, I wanted to be sure that we had enough strength here. And that looks good, and we didn't melt the insulation back too far either. Now let's do the red one. Now, if you look closely, you may see a little problem here. And that is, I dribbled a little bit of the solder on the connector when I was putting it together, so I'm going to take a razor blade and try to trim that down without scraping the plate off the connector. Easier said than done, but I think I've got it down to where it's flat again now. Now that we've got those crimped and soldered, let's do the final part of the equation here. The first thing we need to do is just look and see if these connectors are round back here where the wire is soldered, and they're not. They're kind of flat. They're a little bit wider than the body of the connector here is going to allow, so I'm going to take my crimpers and try to round them just a little bit. Now that should fit. The next thing we need to do is to make sure that they're straight here. If they're bent too much, they're not going to go up in there. So let's try it. Make sure we got the black wire going into the black connector here and the red going into the red. And the hook here on the end goes down toward the spring. Now, after much groaning and gnashing of teeth, I finally got it in there. This is not easy on this larger gauge of wire right here. What I ended up doing is I had to trim back a little bit of the insulation here to about where it just barely goes up in there. And it was still so tight, the way that I got it in there was took a screwdriver, a small one, and poked around the sides here until I touched the top of that pin in there and pressed it on through. But there, we've got a good connector now. You may notice one problem here. And that's when I had this thing in the helping hands. The alligator clips kind of melted through the wire there. It got so hot when I was soldering it. Now, there's no chance that these two are going to touch each other, but I'll slide a little piece of heat shrink tubing up there just so it doesn't bump anything in the vicinity. And let's see if they fit together now. A perfect match. There again, be sure about your polarity. You don't want to get that off. So there you go, how to install Anderson Power Pole connectors. And those are handy things to have. You know, I've used other type of connectors on power leads for rigs before, but the Andersons seem to be becoming the standard. So check those out. They're not real cheap, but you can find pretty good deals on them at your local ham fest. Well, last week I asked a question in our contest, what year was the first ARRL handbook published? And we got an answer from Kay Hartman, K8GZ, and he says the first edition of the ARRL handbook was published in November of 1926. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Yes, it is. That's a long time ago. I would like to see what was in a 26 edition. That's when broadcasting was really getting started itself. Congratulations, Kay. You're going to win some of this Heil wire. And this is some good stuff here for microphone cable. You've got two conductors here with a silver-plated braided shield, not a wrapped one, and two other conductors you can use for push-to-talk or whatever else you'd like, and it's in a nice flexible rubber jacket. And next week, we're going to give away another one of these MFJ 24-hour clocks. And if you'd like to win that, then answer this. What radio was featured in the Thanksgiving episode of Last Man Standing? Good question there. And if you keep paying attention to the show tonight, you might get a little hint on that. If you know the answer or figure out the answer, email me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. And right now, let's go to Don Wilbanks and get a message from our sponsor.
Hey, that was a great episode of Last Man Standing. That was a great radio, and I know where you can get one of those mystery radios. DX Engineering. Ham radio shrinks the globe, and DX Engineering can help you do just that and make new contacts. They have towers, transceivers, antennas, apparel, and everything in between. You can shop for everything your shack needs in one place, and if you get that order in by 10 p.m. Eastern and it's in stock, it will ship the same day. That means you get your order faster than if you bought it anywhere else. You can absolutely squeeze the most performance out of your equipment and your equipment dollar by using the best coax on the market. DX Engineering's experts treat cable assembling as an art form. Each assembly is carefully made by hand. Attention to detail means you get the cable that is high-pot tested to withstand extreme voltage. And it's fully weather-tight, stands up to years of anything Mother Nature can sling at it. And it's all made in the USA and inspected to the absolute tightest tolerances in the world. Pretty much any length and connector options you want is available. Your station will operate at its fullest potential by tying it together with DX Engineering coax cable. And if you're working on an antenna project, maybe you're building an antenna, DX Engineering has the telescopic lengths of aluminum and fiberglass tubing that you need. It's available in assorted lengths for tower and antenna building as well. Smoothly telescoping design gives you strength and rigidity with low wind resistance. And the tubing works well with DX Engineering's wide range of element brackets and clamps. You can design the absolute best antenna. Also, they have other mounting options and solutions like guy rings, guy line, deburring, cutting tools, everything you need to put up an excellent antenna and tower. And their multiband vertical antennas are becoming the industry standard. They will get you on the HF band from 160 to 10, all from a vertical that's only 43 feet tall. It's available separately or packaged in a comprehensive kit. Gives you practically everything you need to start working the HF bands with that vertical. And Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Have you thought about the holiday shopping list? Well, plenty of gifts available at dxengineering.com. Gifts for every ham radio operator and budget. Tools, clocks, weather stations, books, audio accessories, and everything in between. They also have gift cards you can buy online, print out instantly, even if you wait until Christmas Eve. That's right. And if you want to grab any of this great DX Engineering gear, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. And if it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck and it'll head your way tonight. Yes, it'll ship tonight if you get it in by 10 p.m. Eastern. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe just like amateur radio does. Request a catalog, shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. And you guys over at DX Engineering, we hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Now let's head on up towards the Yellow Brick Road and see, or no, we're going to the West Coast. Let's see what's going on with Gordon. It's I need another drink.
There we go again. Well, we'll see the shorts in just a few more shots. But, you know, we're all around the Thanksgiving table here. We're thinking of those of you on the East Coast, and we just hope seriously that the storm did not cause too much damage. And for those waiting for friends coming from the West Coast to the East Coast, well, they'll get there ultimately. But let's take a look on the West Coast for a little different Thanksgiving tomorrow morning. And you, as Ham Nation viewers, can tune us in. So, Brian, let's roll the short shots. Well, we look at the weather, and it looks pretty ominous on the West Coast, but we're assured by the Weather Bureau that it's going to miss us and that we should have, hopefully, a nice day out on the beach. So let's take a look and see what else is happening there. And Brian, if you want to go ahead and jump to the next shot. And he's wrestling with his equipment. These shots come out of the Hepburn Report. There we go. Well, tomorrow morning, that's what we're hoping we'll see is a nice, bright, sunshiny day over Southern California. Because a group of hams every year like to trek on down to the beach. And Brian, if you want to go ahead and bring up the next short shot, he's like banging on his machine. We're going to take, that's Don's favorite, the Gordo Black Mariah. And we've got it packed full of DX Engineering stuff. And we've got an ICOM 706. And, of course, we have our battery pack. And we plan to operate absolutely portable from the sand. Now, you may think, well, gosh, is that a big deal to set up? Well, as soon as Brian goes to the next shot, he's working with his machine. He's pushing it. Bingo. There we are. That's Chip K7JA, Janet KL7MF in the background. And yours truly, yep, in our short shorts, putting up our 10-meter antenna. Tomorrow we're going to be on 10 meters. And while we're doing the work, Susan Janet will be probably listening to the ball game. So we always take along a little AM radio like this. And here it is. The turkey goes into the deep oil fryer, and a couple of minutes, actually an hour later, about an hour, Sue says, it comes out of the fryer. And as we're working DX, the ladies, the brains of the operation, are getting the turkey ready for a little eat and bake out here on the sand. And Brian is bashing his machine now to go to the next shot. And we're hoping, if you'll go back one, Brian, if that's not too hard, we're hoping that we'll have a nice sunny day like this. And notice that our 10-meter beam is only going to be up about 8 or 10 feet tall. Off to the left-hand side, you can see the fryer machine that makes the turkeys as much fun as they are. But I don't think it's going to be quite that sunny. But nonetheless, we're going to be on the air. And Brian, the next shot. And as you can see, food on the beach in between DX. And if you look at those plates, you'll see that we are all clean platers. And we hope for a day like tomorrow here on the West Coast where we can see those mountains in the background, which are about 45 miles away with the ocean on the other side. And now we go to last man standing. And there he is. And that is our man, Ray, in 9JA, Ray of ICOM America, Ray Novak. And we're going to take a look and hold that shot, if you would, Brian. This is the Mike Baxter collection of QSLs on the back wall. We want to thank John Amadeo, NN6JA, who's co-executive producer of Last Man Standing, for really promoting ham radio. Now, this episode that you're going to see a snippet was written by Vince Caladari, directed by Ted Wass, starring Mike Baxter as KA0XTT, a sort of a not real call sign, but he's soon to have his own. He's working the book. Flynn Morrison as Boyd, and big thanks to ICOM and Hio Mikes and Alpha Delta Meritron from MFJ, Comet, Daiwa, Green Heron, Jim's Engraving, RT Systems, Vibraplex, the awards from ARRL and CQ Magazine, and the cast and crew ham radio training materials from the W5YI group and training from yours truly. Our pileup stations, you'll hear them at the very beginning. That's Julian, N3JF, working Rob, AA6 Romeo Alpha. So let's go ahead and take this shot and roll the video, please, Brian. Last man standing. Go ahead, Brian.
What you doing, Grandpa?
I'm down in my basement watching a football game on a radio.
How can we do what we're thankful for?
In a minute. Come on in here. I want to show you something. Look at this. Ready? All right. Mike, KA0XTT. Just a little shout out. Anybody having a good time here on Thanksgiving? Anybody hiding in their basement to avoid their relatives? One thing I like about these guys, if I don't want to listen to them, I just turn them down like this.
Grandpa, this is due on Monday.
All right, calm down. Let's do your little report. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for radio. Specifically, ham radio. Ham radio is heavily regulated by the FCC, the same people who censor network television but not cable, so drug dealers and murderers become our heroes. They not only censor, but they regulate my ham radio. They require me to have a license, test, and if they don't like what I have to say, they can fine me or lock me up. What a great way to treat the last line of communication. During the coming apocalypse. Why does the government choose to regulate free speech and ham radio, but anybody can operate, a hemp outlet? So this Thanksgiving, while the rest of you are enjoying your turkey, I'm savoring my ham. Happy Thanksgiving, FCC, because I know you're listening.
You just done a book report.
Oh, there you go. Well, we thank the entire crew for this great transmission about ham radio. You're going to see the entire show tonight at 8:30 EST and PST, 7:30 Central Standard Time. So those of you on the East Coast in the rain, I hope it's almost over. And those of us out west here, 8:30, and you'll watch this show. So that's our report at this end. Tune us in tomorrow, 28.400 Upper Sideband from the beach, and we look forward to sharing some turkey time with those of you tuning us in on 10 meters tomorrow from about 10 o'clock California time on 73 from the holiday table. Back to you, George.
Okay, Gordo, thanks for that. And yeah, that was a great episode. I had recorded on the DVR, but didn't get to watch it until Sunday night. Really neat show. Some other funny topics on there as well. So go check out Last Man Standing on ABC. I think you'll enjoy it. And they're doing a great service for amateur radio by doing all this promoting of the hobby. Where more can you see ham radio on network television? I don't think anywhere. Well, let's go to Don Wilbanks now. And what's in the news, Don?
From Amateur Radio News Line Report, number 1893, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. Post-typhoon rescue efforts continue in the Philippines. We get the latest from Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
The Philippines Amateur Radio Association, PARA, and its ham emergency radio operation, HERO Network, continue to provide emergency communications. The news media has taken an interest, with Raymond DU1UGZ being interviewed, including twice on the BBC and also a US network. In one interview, Raymond DU1UGZ told how people queued up at a HERO station to get their health and welfare messages out. He knew amateur radio emergency communications were effective, and the results saw many tearful moments when the messages got through.
Some hams have asked how to directly aid their counterparts in the Philippines. You can find that information on the web at para.org.ph. Closer to home, at least 8 people are dead after a particularly dangerous tornado situation unfolded across the Midwest Sunday, November 17th. The late-season outbreak of tornadoes and high winds killed 6 people in Illinois, 2 in Michigan, and injured hundreds of others. Amateur Radio Newsline's newest reporter, Hal Rogers, KHCMD.
Ham Radio responded with a team of volunteers to a Central Illinois Division Red Cross after receiving a request for emergency communication support between various locations in Washington, Illinois. Washington is a town of approximately 11,000 people, and news reports say that it is among the hardest hit by the storms, with many injuries having taken place. Communication support was provided between the American Red Cross offices in Peoria, a Methodist church, and the Tazewell County Emergency Operations Center. To the credit of the hams that installed and maintained them, VHF and UHF FM systems remained operational for all of the required communication paths. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn told reporters that the storms destroyed or badly damaged upward of 400 homes in Washington, Illinois.
In Indiana, it was a similar situation, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jack Parker, W8ISH.
As the multiple storm cells left Illinois, they began to pick up strength from afternoon heating. At the last count, 24 confirmed tornadoes raced across Indiana landscape, leaving massive damage in its wake. Vincennes, Indiana, experienced an EF2 tornado that was 100 yards wide and traveled more than 19 miles. Amateur radio storm spotters from Evansville to the southwest, up through Marion, Indiana to the northeast, reported funnel clouds and strong winds along the way. EF2 tornadoes caused damage in Lafayette, Lebanon, Bedford, and numerous Indiana cities. An EF3 tornado devastated Dayton, Indiana, just west of Kokomo. Local, county, and state officials credited the National Weather Service and amateur radio weather spotters for the advanced warnings as the storms raced across the state at 45 miles per hour. Thanks to their efforts and the National Weather Service, there were no deaths reported in Indiana.
There's much more to hear about the disaster relief efforts, both in the Philippines and here in the U.S., on this week's full edition of the Amateur Radio Newsline Report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. You know, as a resident of New Orleans and an Oklahoma native, tonight's Newsline report
hits me hard because as a resident of New Orleans, I went through Katrina and know what those folks over in the Philippines are going through. And as a native of Oklahoma, I've been through tornadoes and know what those folks up there in the tornado ravaged areas are going through. So my heart goes out to everyone affected by all of tonight's weather. So remember those people in your Thanksgiving prayers and give thanks that that you were spared things like that. So let's take a look at another one of our sponsors here of Ham Nation, and that is the fine folks at ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with its incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. This buy direct promotion is good now until the end of 2013. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's buy direct program. Tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register for the weekly swag contest. When you do, you'll also be entered in the monthly radio giveaway. And for this month, we've got a great one. It's the ICOM IC-51A. It's that new 5-watt VHF-UHF dual watch handheld with GPS, D-Star, and the new near repeater list-up function. And this is your last opportunity to register for this month and get your name in the hat for one of those. So do it after the show tonight. And right now, we're going to go to the Yellow Brick Road and see Dale. Dale.
Hey, George. Good evening and happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And I believe, really, I was the only one that got the memo about the pilgrim hat. So anyway, let's do it. On this Thanksgiving Eve, we've got three great videos, a club website of the week, and we'll be announcing the winner of the Ham's Choice Awards for the videos in October. Let's start with a video from Colin Evans. He's M1BUU of West Yorkshire, England. He doesn't have a ham shack at home, but he loves to operate out in the great outdoors with milliwatts. He told us that in one competition, he contacted N1EU near Albany, New York, using a specially modified RockBite 20. His power output was 89 milliwatts at 14 megahertz. He told us the contact worked out at 36,393 miles per watt. So let's take a look at his work. SODA, QRP.
I'm Colin, M1BUU, and I'd like to share with Ham Nation what can be achieved with a standard 9-volt battery and a simple homebrew crystal-controlled 10 MHz radio. The radio is based on the popular RockMic design and has been optimised for low current and low voltage operation, with power output in the region of 150 milliwatts. A great way to score some QSOs is to become DX, and what better way than a SOTA activation? It's early morning on 10th of November 2013, and I'm on the summit of Buckton Pike in the Yorkshire Dales National Park, Northern England. Like Bob Hyle, I'm a fan of the dipole antenna, in this case inverted V-style, supported by a fishing pole in the centre.
Copy.
calling CQ soon results in some hits on the reverse beacon network, translating into an automatic spot on the So To Watch website. Very soon I was on the right side of a mini pile-up, working 16 stations in 18 minutes.
Whoa!
Hopefully I've shown that even very low-powered radios can be very effective. 7-3 from M1BUU.
Well, thanks, Colin. Isn't that something? Good luck in your next low-power outing out there, too. Well, on Veterans Day earlier this month, the NB9QV Cobia Radio Club operated a special event using the radios aboard a World War II submarine. The videographer is David Jaeger. He's Whiskey November 9, Quebec.
On November 9th and 10th, 2013, the USS Cobia Radio Club held a special event on the submarine USS Cobia. The event was to honor the U.S. veterans on Veterans Day weekend. The Cobia is a World War II submarine, similar to the 28 subs built in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and is moored at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. Our radio equipment had to be lowered down a hatch to our operator's location.
Well, if we couldn't do this, it would be hell to get everything down.
This is Doug, N9NX, at the 40-meter station. Here is Fred, W6BSF, starting the operation on 20 meters.
One here, kilowatt 4, kilowatt Foxtrot Romeo from November Bravo 9, Quebec, Victoria. Name is Fred, Fox Romeo Echo Delta. You are...
We dedicated our satellite station to Ralph Houston Jr., who was killed by gunfire while defending the Cobia. Our first satellite contact ever from the submarine USS Cobia was with W1AW Portable Zero in Missouri. This is the sub's radio room. The radios have been restored and are in working condition. The Cobia's radar system has been restored to full working order and is now the oldest operational radar system in the world. Here are some parting scenes from the USS Cobia. Over 880 contacts were made during the two-day event. And let us not forget what the whole operation was for, to honor our veterans on Veterans Day.
Well, thanks a lot, David. That was David Jaeger, WN9Q. We look forward to some more videos from up in Wisconsin there, David. Let's look now at our club website of the week, the Eagle Rock Amateur Radio Club. That would be www.erarc.org. The site was nominated by Jesse Dixon. He's KC7SIK. And he reports that the site's become a valuable resource for hams in all of eastern Idaho. Along with information about local amateur activities, you'll find an extensive map of the area repeaters. He finds the Google Docs spreadsheets, which are updated in real time during the local net meetings, are fascinating. If you'd like to see your club website spotlighted here on Ham Nation, just send the URL to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And don't forget, you can check out all of the club website of the week's featured here at hamnationvideos.info. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up tonight's videos. And this one's another offering from 9-year-old Scott, KD0WBB. Here he builds a 10-meter dipole, and he uses it to make his first DX contest from the backyard. Let's watch that one together now.
All right, guys, so as you can see, it's a beautiful fall day outside, so we're going to work outside today. First up for our materials is a coil of wire that my dad used to use for building the house. We got some wire cutters here. We got some wire strippers. We got a center insulator. Some electrical tape. And a tape measure for measuring the dipole. So let's get started. Okay, so as you can see, we have stripped the insulation off the last bit of wire. So now what we gotta do is we gotta stick it through the hole and wrap it around the center insulator. As you can see, we've already done it with the first side, the black wire. And the next step is to wrap the second stranded wire around the other end of the center insulator. Okay, so as you can see, we pretty much succeeded on our dipole. As you can see, we hung it up in a tree. I thought we were going to tie one end to the playground and then maybe the other end to my tree. That was our goal. But as you can see, we hung it up in our tree in the backyard. So, yeah. N1YBX, this is Kilo Delta Zero, Whiskey Bravo Bravo.
Kilo Delta Zero, Whiskey Bravo Bravo. Yeah, I'll just be real quick. Nice 5-9 signal, by the way, to the town of Benton, New Hampshire. Bravo Echo November, Tango Oscar November. Population 300 up here in the White Mountain Forest. Over.
Yes, you are also 5-9 in Loveland, Colorado. Delta November 70. I'm in the backyard with my dad on a homemade 10-meter dipole that we hung in a tree.
Oh, wicked, wicked cool. Delta Zero, Whiskey Bravo Bravo. This is Whiskey 2, Juliet Kilo Delta. Whiskey 2, Juliet Kilo Delta. In Vero Beach, Florida. Vero Beach, Florida. Name is Jim, Japan, India, Mexico. Go ahead. Okay, Scott, very good. And thank you very much for the contact. And fine on being 9 years old. I was 12 years old when I got my novice license many years ago, and I've enjoyed the hobby all of my life, Scott.
So, all in all, I had a great day on 10 meters. I made a great DX contact with South America and Argentina with just a wire in a tree. I made two contacts with Florida and one with New Hampshire. This is KD0WBB. From his home QTH in Colorful, Colorado. See you next time.
Okay. Well, Scott, thank you very much, and keep those great videos coming. Scott, like we said, is only 9 years old. Can you imagine making videos when you were nine? Okay. Well, it's time to announce the winner of the Ham's Choice Award for videos submitted in October. The Ohio State Parks on the Air from the Lake County Amateur Radio Club garnered 2/3 of our votes. The winning videographer is Joe Koskovic, KD8TGT. He'll receive this 2014 Ham Radio calendar courtesy of our friends at the Ham Radio Center, Mark Breckheisen, KB0MOF. That's the candy store here in the Wichita area, better known as the Radio Shack down in Derby. Well, there was a tie for second place with 10% of the vote each going to the Peoria Superfest 2013 video from Dan in 9LVS and PSK31 sending upper and lowercase text from Randy. He's K7AGE. We'd love to show your photos and videos here on Ham Nation. Just send a link to your video or email your photos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And we have a special request from ICOM's Ray Novak. He'd like to see more videos featuring emergency communications or neighborhood watch teams that use amateur radio. We'll be posting a link to a real nice feature video covering amateur radio from the BBC. You'll find that link on our hamnationvideos.info website sometime this evening. The link came to us from Eon G3ZHI. So check it out if you get a chance. Well, that's 30 for the video segment this Thanksgiving Eve. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And now, Cheryl's got the latest from the chat room. So good evening, Cheryl. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you very much, Dale. And likewise, happy Turkey Day early to you as well. And thank you for your segment. Good job. So I want to just go into a couple things here. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. That's important. I'm happy to be here with you guys tonight. So for the most part, I just want to let you know that we have an announcement that we'd like to make here. And first off, I have to say hello to my Uncle Frank, who's also a ham. So hi, Uncle Frank. And then we have an announcement from AK400. He's got a Tampa Bay Ham Fest. So for all those in the southeastern part of the United States, Tampa Bay Ham Fest, Friday, December 6th, and Saturday, December 7th, a two-dayer, an ARRL West Central Florida Convention, second largest ham fest in Florida. So I guess the best thing to do is check it out on the web or go to the ARRL and punch that in so you'll get more details on the exact location. But it sounds like a big one. I wish I was down in Florida at this time of the year. So anyhow, let's get started here with a great question from W7BJH. BJ, he says, if you want to, is there any way to determine the frequency of ham sticks? I know that's an antenna. I don't see any markings or identification numbers on this particular antenna. So let's go over to George. Might you have an answer for us concerning ham sticks and what frequency that would be, George? Go ahead.
Well, I might have an answer, and it might not be correct, but I'll take a stab at it. It all goes by how many turns are on the coil of the mast of it. If you if you've got an 80 meter around you can look at and it looks like the coil is about the same length, well, then it's probably an 80 meters. If it's about somewhere around a half that size, it's a 40. But that's got everything to do with it right there. Now, Gordon, do you know a better method of determining that without any test equipment or markings?
No, I love your way, George. If that coil is this long, it's 80. The coil is this long. That's the fat part of the ham stick. It's 40. 20 is about this long. 15 is about this long. And 10 has very, very little turns at all. So I'm with you, George. That's the way you tell. And then, of course, take it on an MFJ SWR analyzer and put a little turkey with it, and you'll know what you got. Back to you, George. No, back to Cheryl.
Hey, Gordo. Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say I'm with you. And I was going to say, can I add an answer? The MFJ antenna tuner, of course. Analyzer. The analyzer. Not tuner. I meant analyzer. It's just like my head's in every direction. But I do have another question for you, Gordo. Which D-Star reflectors are the PAPA system linked to that's out in your area? Is it 12C or I can't quite remember. Over to you.
Gosh, I don't have a clue. I'm an idiot when it comes to D-Star operations, but I've got it pre-programmed in my handheld. So I think it is 12C, but just tune around D-Star, and you may hear Chip and Gordon and Janet and Susie and Kristen and George. So we may be on the air somewhere on D-Star, but for sure we'll be on 10 meters. Back to you, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you for that. And another thing I remember doing is they have their own website for the PAPAssist, if I'm not mistaken. It's PAPAssist.org. Not sure, but it shows the whole map of Southern California. And if you just key up on that D-Star and you're connected to that one out there, you light up the whole West Coast and everybody can hear you. And it's quite exciting. I was using the ICOM 2820H dual band, dual receive, D-Star module included. Great radio, just awesome and really fun to program. I did it myself. I learned how. Any of you guys can do that. So join in for the D-Star fun. It's always a great time. So I also have a second announcement that I would like to make because I'm very excited to let you know that for the North Shore Radio Club, that is the group that I am a member of with K9LPK. We participated in field day. I know it's late. Like, what are you talking about? Field day, it's Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. But all the things were tallied. The results have been posted. The call sign was K9OR. I have to say that. The score was 11,552 points. The category was 3A and 3 as in 3 alpha. We won in the first place in the state.
All right.
And also the first place in the Central Division, place number one.
Wow.
And also in the country, place number three. That would be for the North Shore Radio Club. You can find their information on the website. They do a fine, fine job. And please go in there. They teach you about soldering. There's a whole bunch of great things in there. So it's ns9rc.org. Please join in for all the fun that you'll see there. They even talk about how to use some test equipment. There's links to it in there. Please go on and check that all out. That would be ns9rc.org. And that's bragging rights for the club. So there you have it. And then I also would like to, Brian, do you happen to have that picture that I asked maybe you might be able to put on the screen for me? It's the notice. Yeah, this is the one that you see behind me back here above my shoulders. The notice it's kind of a warning hazard type sign. But I keep getting questions in my email. Where do you get this from? And I went on a site called ZCG, and I'll give it to you phonetically, ZuluCharlieGolf.com. And you can get this sign. They have other variables sort of like it. Or you can just type in radio warning signs, and you'll get them. So all I know is they are available. You can still get them. And if you wanted one, that's where you'll be able to find it. So that was a question I want to answer for everybody. And we also have some other questions here that I'd like to bring up.
Hey, Cheryl.
Yes.
Cheryl, they didn't know where the sign came from. What they wanted to know is where the radiation was coming from, not the sign. The radiation, you're getting nuked, kid.
If the radiation's all radios put out a little bit of radiation no matter what. So that's
it's
just
her
kind
electric
of a,
personality.
It's definitely, I have a more of a magnetic one, but electromagnetic, yeah, both. Yeah, there you go, ERF. And for Turkey Eve, I also have something else for you, Gordo. So we know you will be down at the beach tomorrow on 10 meters, 28.400 and up. What call sign will you be using tomorrow, Gordo?
All right, either WB6NOA or K7 Juliet Alpha, probably K7JA. That's Chip's call sign. He's the master behind the antenna we're going to be using. It's a homebrew antenna. I'm supplying the DC power, either this big heavyweight or the new Daysaber nickel. I got to get it right. No, lithium iron phosphate. There we go. But we'll be battery operated, and Lord help us, if the sun is shining, we'll be solar powered, charging the battery. So K7 Juliet Alpha or WB6NOA. Back to you, Radiation Lady.
There you go. I guess I'm radioactive because I'll be on the air after the show to talk to all of you on 75 meters. So please be sure to join in the after show QSO on 3.847 megahertz tonight. I'll be there. And another viewer asked for you, Gordo, will the nearby salt water enhance your signal at all in all directions or just to the direction of the ocean to your west?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Usually salt water will enhance the signal in the direction of where the salt water is. So if Asia comes in on 10, we're going to hear it well. But just being on the beach with the wet sand below us, especially if it rains, we should have a good signal throughout. And I think we're going to have a directional beam, so maybe 3.5 to 4 dB heading to the East Coast. So we'll be looking forward to hearing how everybody is drying out back east. And I understand it's going to be nice sunny weather. We sure hope so for the Thanksgiving Macy's Parade in New York City.
Nice. That will be wonderful. Totally. Great questions, guys. And thanks for the answer there, Gordo. And now let's move to George. I have a question for you. And that comes from KG7EYB. He asks, how about some tips for dealing with RFI in an apartment complex? Any thoughts on that, George? Over to you.
Hide.
Well, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. You're going to have all kinds of stuff coming in your receiver from your cable TVs, your microwaves, just everything around. But you're going to be generating a little bit too. So, do kind of like the tip that Gordo gave us on last week's show that we're recorded in Lebanon. If someone knocks on the door, then it looks like they're going to complain about interference. Ask them if they're picking up the same interference you're getting.
And don't wear your aluminum foil hat when you answer the door.
No.
Do that. It's a dead giveaway.
No, that is a tough one because there's so many wires and things running around an apartment complex. It's going to be tough to pull off. You got any tips, Gordo?
That is loads of ferrite beads, snap-on filters to help minimize any stray RF, and it's a two-way deal. You'll generate noise, and on receive, they'll generate noise, and that's a tough one. Just try and get the antenna as far away from noisemakers, potential noisemakers like plasma TVs, as possible. Back to you, Sherry.
Let me tell you something about those ferrite beads. I ate 17 of those things one time, and I still had RF in my shack. They don't work for me at all.
There you go. Right.
Okay,
you should have hung them around your neck.
You know, that Don, the Donster, he's been out there already on 3847, and he types in the chat room. I see he says, K5LN says hello from 3847. So let's just say hi to K5LN a little bit early, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Hi, Bill.
And also you, Don, too.
Hello, darling.
So I think that pretty much wraps up most of the questions for the pre-Turkey Day here. But what can I say? Or Turkey Eve, as the West Coasters like to call it, Turkey Eve, right, Gordo?
That's it. Well, 73, Cheryl, thanks so much, and we look forward to hearing you on the air in just a few minutes. For those on 40, we'll be at 72, 72, 78, looks like, on the radio. And tomorrow we'll be on both the ICOM 706 as well as the 718. That's perfectly visible down in the bright sun, hopefully, that we have at the beach. Happy holidays, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
And thank you very much for all your questions. Keep your cards and questions coming in the chat room and to my email. I like doing that. That's a great thing. And all I can say is happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and don't eat too much. What can I say? That's the best advice I can give so far, but just take the leftovers home, right? Until the next time, I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK, 73 all, and I'll see you right here on Ham Nation. Bye. Thanks, Brian.
73, Cheryl. I appreciate you running the chat room for us tonight and getting in a few extra questions there. And Gordo, before you run off, you might want to test out those D-Star radios tonight. You know, we've got a D-Star net back on the air again. After being off for a brief period, it's back. And Glenn Allborn, KF7QLH, and Dave Cantrell, KB9VZU, have teamed up to bring us the D-Star After Ham Nation net again, and that's going to be on Reflector 14 Module C. So you'll certainly want to check that one out if you've got D-Star gear. They had a good turnout last week. As Gordo mentioned, 7.278 on 40 meters. If we have a 20-meter net tonight, it'll be around 14.268, but I'm not sure on that one. Let's see. I mentioned D-Star, Reflector 14 Module C. And Echo Link, as always, star do drop M star, node number 355-800. Well, Don, I see the glass. It's not half empty and it's not half full. It's completely empty, isn't it?
You know, Gordon's going to be on the beach. And if you put a seashell up to your ear, you can hear the ocean. I can hear the vineyard. It's a hollow, empty sound. It's so sad. But that's all right. There's more where that came from. So I may try to get on 10 tomorrow and see if I can make the trip out there. And I think someone said in the chat room that the Papa system was on 12 Alpha as far as
D-Star. That's right. So
12 Alpha.
Yeah, you're right. 12 Alpha. Not Charlie, but Alpha. Yeah.
It was nice to talk to Bill, K5LN, on 3847 a minute ago. So that was cool. So anyway, good night from South Mississippi and AE5DW. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you here in the United States. And for those of you watching around the world, have a great day. Thank you for watching Ham Nation. We love you.
Thanks, Don. And Gordo, any final words from Costa Mesa?
Gobble, 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 gobble.
I think that sums it up. One other thing before we go, we want to ask everyone who watches Ham Nation to go to the twit.tv website, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see a link down there to take the audience survey. It's very important that you do that so that Twit can determine what type of folks are watching Ham Nation and, get a little more input from the audience. It helps keep the show going, and we'd highly encourage you to go there, as Brian's going there right now. And I'm sure he's going to answer the questions and fill out his survey. So thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. Happy Thanksgiving, and to our Jewish friends, happy Hanukkah. I think it's the first day of Hanukkah today. So, yeah. And that's a coincidence. I don't think Thanksgiving and Hanukkah will start on the same date again for many, many years after we're all gone. So that's it. Yeah. 73 All, we'll see you again next week. Same time, same ham station. And from Jackson, Mississippi, this is W5JDX 73.